It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It's your old buddy, Luke Clayton. You know what? It's time for us to spend a little time and talk about the outdoors like we do every week here on KETR. We do try to cover the gamut, all kind of outdoor topics that we'll discuss in the course of a year. We're going to do a little different show today. I've got a very, very interesting friend, one of my very best friends. His name is Dub Wallace. Now, Dub is right around 80 years old, give a month or two one way or another. 80 years old, going on about 18, to be quite honest with you. I get to spend a lot of time with Dub. Dub was raised down around Camp Wood, not far from the Mexican border. And that was way back. You got to understand, Dub is 80 years old now, so he grew up back in the day. And I thought it would be fun today to get Dub with us, and let's just talk about the old times. Dub, are you standing by ready to visit with everybody, buddy?
Boy, I mean to tell you, I'm talking my long suit.
Well, I already know that, and our guests are about to find it out, Dub. You know, you grew up, just kind of give us a time, say when you was 8, 10 years old, that was back in what year bracket are we talking about?
Well, in 42, 43, 44, somewhere along in there.
That was your childhood years, the early 40s.
Yeah, very early childhood, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh. Now, Dub, your dad worked on sheep and goat ranches down in not far from the Mexican border, and you grew up in this environment. You were telling me that a lot of times that you would live so far back in the hills back there that when people came on horseback or whatever to visit you, you know, it was such a shock, you'd hit the road, you'd hit the woods, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd hide till they left.
Well, I can see that. I was kind of raised, not that time frame, but a little, about 18 years later than you, and I was raised in East Texas up in Red River County, so I know where you're coming from on that, a little bit shy.
Yeah. But I didn't want nothing new with no people.
That's right. Now, Dub, your dad was a trapper. Let's talk about the fall. I know you've got some really fond memories about spending time in his trapping camp.
Oh, man, yeah.
Now, you guys would, what kind of animals would you, and this was a cash crop. I mean, if you didn't catch some hides, some skins to sell, somebody didn't get any money, did they?
It was the mainstay of our deal there during the winter, you know, and he had a partner, and of course everybody then had a partner, you know, and they'd usually camp out in an old goat shed, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes they were pretty keep the wind off, sometimes they wouldn't, but they'd always have a camp set up. One of my main things was the Christmas holidays.
Uh-huh.
That was my look forward to all year, because the minute I was out of school, we had an old Model A coupe car, and we'd go to the trapping camp. Mm-hmm. And stay right there. You know, we'd have a Christmas and everything right there in that goat shed. And that was one of my main attractions when I was growing up, because I wanted to be a trapper just like Daddy.
And you know? He trained you. You'd catch a ringtail down there?
Oh, yeah, we'd catch ringtail, coons. That was a mainstay, ringtails. Coons weren't worth much,
mm-hmm.
50 cents, but I sure did like to set traps, catch them right. I love to catch coons, but ringtails that was the main cash commodity then. At that time, they'd probably bring $2.50 to $3 a hide, you know. And they stretched them and everything there. And then there's an old fur buyer that traveled over the country, and he'd come to all those camps and he'd count the furs, you know, and this was the day when a handshake was gold, you know.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Maybe he wouldn't even see Daddy, but when he'd get back to town to the fur shed, well then Mother could go there and pick up the money for the furs, you know.
Yes.
And it was all up to snuff, you know.
Yeah, you could trust him to give you a fair price on the furs, and
oh yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, and then sometimes he was a good fella. I worked for him some whenever I got a little bit bigger on the ranch around there, but sometimes he'd get there at by afternoon, and he'd have supper fixed for them whenever they got in, whatever meat they had hanging up there, whatever, or warmed up, or whatever. Was. Old Mr. Burner was his name. He'd have supper fixed for Daddy and his partner, and of course that was a great help.
Yeah, but,
that was my main thing. And then, well, my daddy, he knew we were coming, and he'd have me a short line set, what we called a short line, maybe 10 traps right there, not too far from the camp, and he'd have that short line set for me. That was mine. I trapped it, and then he'd show me when we got there where the traps were. And then he didn't bug it no more. I was on my own, you know, eight, nine, 10 years old, something like that. But I thought I was a grown man, man.
Yeah. Well, folks, our guest is Dove Wallace, one of my very best friends. And we're talking about how it was when Dove was a boy down around Camp Wood and Lakey, down near the Mexican border. Dove, a horseback or mule was the basic mode of transportation around those ranches for you, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, horses and mules, and my daddy always wanted me to ride a mule.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wouldn't fall with you, you know.
Right.
In those hills, that's good. But I had a pretty good string of horses too. I had nice little mare, you know, fine. But yeah, that was the main mode of transportation, and you know, people just come riding through the country, going from one ranch or maybe going to town, and they'd stop by, and you had to eat when you stopped by, because that was just the known thing. And if there wasn't anybody there at your place, it didn't make any difference. Or if you was at somebody else's place, if there wasn't anyone there, you just went in and fixed yourself a meal. The only thing required was to leave the wood box full and the dishes clean.
Just a common. There was no McDonald's around around the corner, was it, Dub?
No, man.
It was a different era, Dub. Let's think back to the trapping camp. You've told me many times about how your dad would have a big cast iron pot, or your mother, I guess, when she was there with y'all, cooking, and you'd have a big pot of you'd keep it hot, a pot of soup. You know, and you might have game animals. Game was a big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a big deal. Made out of deer meat or hog or turkey, whatever they would handy that they killed, you know. And I know now conservationists would frown on it, but horns didn't mean nothing to them. It was food on the table at this after, so
exactly.
Yeah, and of course they didn't just go out there and slaughter them for the fun of it. Whatever you killed, you ate.
Right. Kind of like you and I still are today, you know.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's
exactly.
That's the way that many of us are. But that always amazed me. I could just picture that big old cast iron pot, and you said they'd keep it on the heat all the time, and then they might.
Yeah. Uh-huh. More especially whenever mother and I had two sisters. Whenever the the kids were there. But yeah, I did. Even when they were just batching like, well, that pot stayed and then let it cool off.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then that towel would seal it off. It wouldn't spoil.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And all they had to do then is warm it up or add a little something to it or whatever, and they had a meal ready. It had to be because they didn't have time. Luke, they'd leave by daylight, no later, you know.
Right.
And it'd be dark when they got in because they, and then they'd usually have it planned where they could, they'd have a split line, have one going one way and one other. And they'd run one line, and then they'd happen back about noon,
mm-hmm.
and have a midday meal, and all the way take a little nap.
Right. Well, that's I can certainly relate to that. I think they were smart
yeah.
people. Dub, you know, I've had the privilege of sitting around campfires and everything with you for a long time, many years, and I've got to hear these stories direct, but. I just do. I appreciate you being with us today, and I know a lot of the people listening will relate to it because I'm about 18 years younger than you, but I can remember some of the, you know, I was kind of the era when I came in is when a lot of this way of life that you're talking about was going out, you know,
yeah,
in
right.
the 50s when I was born in 1950. So, you know, I mean, in my younger years, I can remember some pretty remote times up there in Northeast Texas, Red River County. We lived in the woods up there north of Clarksville, you know, Dimple
yeah.
community actually is where I was raised. My dad built the old store there, and he sold it to a gentleman, A.B. Kellum, a pastor up there, passed away a few years ago. But I think everybody over the age of 40 really enjoys reflecting back on old times. And,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
you know, there's a lot to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, they talk about that was the hard time. To me, that was the good times. I didn't have steps enough to know we didn't have anything, but did nobody else have anything either?
Exactly. Well, it was life. I mean, that was
yeah.
trapping and living out in the that is. I will say this: that part of the country where you were raised, you probably didn't realize it when you were a youngster, but that is some of the most beautiful country in Texas, around Camp Wood.
Oh yeah,
and, my gosh,
man, I can remember those old hills in the spring of the year. They just turned solid blue when the Mount Laurel would bloom.
Yeah.
And for 10, 11-year-old kid to admire something like that, you know, that's pretty much a phenomenon because when you're 10, 11 years old, you got one thing on your mind, and that's playing.
That's right. Well, Dub, thank you a lot for being with us, and maybe we can get back and talk some old times again before much longer. I know all of our guests have really enjoyed listening
well,
to
I
you
hope
tell
so. I hope so, Luke, and I really enjoyed it. I get goosebumps on my legs even thinking and talking about it, you know.
I know, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Folks, that wraps up our show today. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us each week. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by the American Hunting Lease Association. You can go online to ahuntinglease.org and learn all about the American Hunting Lease Association. These folks offer liability insurance for your hunting lease. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to sniperhawglights.com. Made possible by Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas, a new way to buy cars. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com, and also made possible by Hoffpower Polaris down in Goldwaith, Texas. The website down there is hpolaris.com. And remember, folks, you can always tune in to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do each week. This is with Larry Wysoon and Bill Dance. Tune in right here next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.